Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Well, Palm Sunday, I want to take a few moments and we're going to look at a handful of scriptures. We're going to make some references back and forth. And we're going to start in the book of Zechariah, the Old Testament, chapter 9. And because of time, I'm going to mention these. I'm not going to maybe wait for you to scroll there or turn there and all of that. You can get this message on the website in a few days. And so Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, the prophet, he begins to hear, well, he's already been doing it, but right here we're going to jump in. And he begins to prophesy about the coming of Jesus. And listen to what he writes. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. There's a little bit of that going on here this morning. I'm just so grateful to be a part of a church that has spirit life in it. And I want to tell you that. I'm just so grateful. And I know that spirit life sometimes is also a holy hush where we're very reverent before the Lord. But there's also those times of celebration and spirit life. And so I want you to know I'm just grateful for your response to the Lord and the leading of the worship team and the Lord just leading us and you responding with expressions of faith and faithfulness. And here's the thing. Most of you I know, and it's not like I know everything about you or your personal life, but I know that there is such a sincerity amongst you when you come and you praise and you worship. And I know it's not saying, you know, I got it all together so I can just really do this. No, it is a cry for His grace. It is a gratitude for His faithfulness, you know, even though He knows us. And so I just want to tell you, thanks. Keep pursuing the Lord, you know, the other 6 days of the week and coming together just that He would continue to find faith among us, right? So I wanted to just tell you, you also inspire me, and I'm just so grateful to be a part of this body of Christ and what He's doing here. So, in Zechariah 9, it will continue. It says, behold, your king is coming to you. Now, I don't know if we quite grasp it, but you have to remember, God's people for a long time, they have been calling out, crying, looking for the Messiah, for the Christ to come and to lead them and to rescue them and deliver them. They have been looking for Him. And now, once again, a prophet comes and says, hey, listen, you need to rejoice because He's coming to town. You know, I just praised you. I just threw a bouquet to you a moment ago about your response to the Lord. And now I'm telling you about the messianic prophecy, and you became a stone wall. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Spring forth with praise, people of God of Sparta, Wisconsin, and La Crosse, and Holman, and Toma, and Leon, and Viroqua, and Westby, and Bangor, even Cataract, in every little hamlet we come from. Whew. Because I am preaching, I'm doing the best I can. If you're live streaming right now, you've got to be here sometime. I'm just telling you, you got to come over. Okay, so Behold, your king is coming to you. Understand, they have been longing, waiting, crying, generations going by. And the prophet now says, behold, he's coming to you. I mean, this is phenomenal news to them. You and I read it and go, oh yeah, that was back in the Old Testament there. I guess the only way that we can try to capture what this news meant to them when we're looking in hindsight is that we need to look at our present into our future. Because the reality is, he came, lived among us, died, rose again, ascended to the Father, sent the Holy Spirit with the instructions, I am coming again. So now we look back at that and say, man, if I were in their sandals and I heard the news that he was coming, woohoo! Social network of the day of Zechariah would have blown up. He's coming! We look back and say, oh yeah. The only way that we can capture what was being said is for us to look now to the own expectation and anticipation of the Lord coming back. And when a prophecy comes that is authentically prophecy, that's saying, hey, he is coming. Woo! That is what they were feeling and what they were sensing. The prophet said to them, behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, a colt, and the foal of a donkey. Now, I know we're kind of like, we're all excited, and he's coming on a donkey? He's coming on like a baby donkey? I mean, I like Revelation where it's, and he is on a white horse, and on his thigh is written King of Kings, and you know, the prophet, he's coming to you. He's coming in on a baby donkey. You're like, what? Listen. He prophesied of what we're going to read here in Luke 19. I'm going to tell you why this is such great news that he come riding in. And I'm going to, you know, this passage has a lot of things in it, but there's a few things that you and I just naturally don't grasp because we were not back there in that region and a part of that culture and part of the traditions and symbolism and the things that happened. And so we read it and go, I don't understand it, but, you know, I'm still excited that you're coming and that you came on a baby donkey, okay? We don't get it. And I want to talk about it a little bit this morning and how it should impact our life and our faith. And so in the passage I'm going to read from is in Luke chapter 19, verse 28. And when he, Jesus, had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples and he gave them instructions and said, go into the village in front of you, where on entering this village you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it to me. If anyone asks you why are you untying it, you shall say this, the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent away, those two, and found it just as Jesus told them. And as they were untying the colt, the owner said to them, why are you untying the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of it. And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on the cloaks on the colt. And as he rode along, they spread, disciples and now others, began to spread their cloak on the ground in front of him. And as he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice. With a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen Jesus do. Saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Understand, you know, and there's other parts of this that talk about they're yelling Hosanna in the highest. Now, Hosanna translates to save now. Save now. Save me now. Deliver us now. Listen, you understand this. Can you remember, and maybe you're in a time like this, where, you know, things are not great. Circumstances maybe aren't great. Maybe you got some troubling things in the soul. Maybe there's things that just happened new. Maybe there are things that happened long ago, and they still bring unrest to you and your soul, and they affect in how you live life, and it's like, I don't know, it just keeps coming around, and, you know, you just can't shake this loose, and you've just accepted that this is the way life is, and you just can't overcome it on, you know, it seems you kind of do good or for a while, or you do a little better, but it just doesn't leave, and you know, whatever else is going on in your life. And you get to the point where you're desperate. It's like, I just don't want to keep living like this. It's not that we don't want to live. It's that I don't want to live like this. And desperate and broken and without resolve at that point and without an answer. Specialists maybe haven't had the answer. The counselor maybe hasn't had the answer. You can't come up, and you're just, so empty and tired, weary. And you're desperate, and you say, "Lord, would you just save me now? Deliver me. Heal me. Change the circumstances. Change me. Get me out of here." Can you remember a time like that? Maybe it was growing up. Maybe it was within your own household. You said, I just can't wait to grow up and get out of this place. Or I can't wait to get out of these relationships or create some space between me and my past. Or get to a different town. Start over, so to speak. Oh, Lord, would you just save me now? That's what they're yelling. Save us now in the highest. Hosanna, save us now. As they see him coming on this baby donkey. You know, they throw cloaks in front of him, and it's like they understand when they did those kind of things, it was paying homage, giving honor. And the other part was that runs so closely with that is they say, "We are submitting to you." Now remember, they called him king. So when they threw their cloak down in front of him, it was saying, "I am taking off whatever yoke rests on me, and I am throwing it down before you. Whatever cloak I have, I am submitting that you are the king and your kingdom, and you are the king that reigns. I want to be in your kingdom. Not my robe is too fancy. My robe is too expensive. My robe says who I am. My robe says what I've accomplished." my cloak. And it's taking away and stripping of all pride and license and accomplishment and saying, I'd rather be in your kingdom than the kingdom of this world. I'm reminded of blind Bartimaeus, and you who've been around here for some time will know that I've preached at least two sermons, at least, and have referred to him many times. But it reminds me of when he wore his cloak, which was a license to beg, and he was calling out to Jesus, and Jesus calls him, and before he receives his sight, he takes his cloak and leaves it. He threw his cloak down and said, I give up my license, my rights, my privilege, my provision to be in your kingdom. He came to bring peace. If you look down just a little further in that chapter of Luke, in verse 41, it says, and when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying this, would that you, even you, Jerusalem, had known on this day the things that would make for peace. In other words, you don't see it. You have no idea what it's going to cost to make peace for you. Jesus knew that he was going to give his life. That was the price. It was the price tag. You see, he came to bring peace. It's why he is riding, get this now, it is why he is riding on a baby donkey. Because in that culture and time and era and through generations, when kings were on horses, it was a war horse, and he was on a great charger, and it was trouble. But when a king or a messenger of the king came on a donkey, it meant peace. They're coming in peace. So when you're on the walls of the city and you look out and you see somebody or a king or an army and they're coming on horses, it's like, uh-oh, we're going to be under siege. We had better send somebody out to try to make peace before they get here. And anxiety and worry and panic and all those things start to happen because they're coming to make war. They're on a war horse. But when they'd look out and they would see someone coming on a donkey, the anxiety is gone. The worry is gone. And the intention is made clear that this person, this king or this messenger of the king, is coming in peace. And Jesus says it himself, he's coming to make peace. So when they saw him on this colt coming into the city and making his way, and they're throwing down the cloaks, and they're calling him king, and they're saying, save us now, and they're laying down things that would represent a submission and a desire to be in his kingdom, and that they believed in him, and yelling, save us now. I mean, they were looking at it wrongly. We know that. They were thinking he was going to come in and he was going to change the government. And they would get out from under Roman rule. And he was coming for a greater cause. Because governments come and go, friends. Okay, governments come and go. And they're important. And they, you know, just like any government or any, office of governing, whether it's at a company or it's in town or it's a school board or it's a federal government or it's a state government or, all of those things. But they come and they go. Jesus was coming to bring peace. Now, it's very interesting, not only that he rode a colt, But he sent his two disciples. And you see, this is chock full of they're saying, save us now. And Jesus is saying, by what he's doing and what he's having done and the instructions he's giving, is that God has heard your cry for salvation. And as you are crying out, the answer is being manifested. Go untie the colt. The colt is a beast of burden. It's either pulling something or it's carrying something. And that was this little baby donkey's future, a beast of burden to carry or pull things all its life. The burden. And Jesus says, untie the beast of burden. You understand and remember the burden that we carry when we were born into this world. It was the unresolved issue, an issue that can't be solved any other way than through Jesus making peace between God and man, that we carry the burden of sin. What was Jesus anointed for? Do you remember back in Luke chapter 4? Jesus is there and it's his turn to read in the synagogue with others who are being trained or teaching and rabbis and religious leaders. And it's his turn to read and he grabs the scroll from Isaiah. And he reads, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set all at liberty all those who are oppressed, to proclaim the Lord's favor. If we go back in Isaiah, it talks about this, and in that day his burden will depart from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be broken. The loosening of the cords of the yoke, the straps that held the yoke to the beast of burden that they constantly had to be pulling, carrying. Jesus says, go untie the one who will carry the burden. The symbolism of coming in peace, and that your burden and my burden of sin can be removed. He comes, he loosens the cord, he takes the yoke, and place in Scripture says he breaks it. I want to say something to you, that he breaks it. How is it that you and I tend to mend the yoke and put it back on? Listen to this. We look at how all this is going to fit together this morning by the time we get to the end of this, from Old Testament prophecy before Christ coming and the coming of Christ and his life here on earth and his three and a half years of ministry, and then through that Passion Week and the giving of his life and dying and descending into hell and being raised on the third day, his resurrection seen among men, the ascension, the sending of the Holy Spirit, and all the way through, because we're going to look at a verse in Revelation. The very end of this. And we see how all this fits together. How can we not believe? And yet, though we say we believe, and that this day was a day where they're crying out and they're saying, we'll submit to your kingdom, deliver us. We say we believe, and we look how it works together, and yet we walk and continue to walk under the influence of the past. Listen, he broke the yoke that has rested upon us, the yoke of sin. And we believe in Jesus and we like the forgiveness of sin. But understand, part of what happens here in this triumphal entry wasn't just the triumphant work of Christ. It's that he passes that triumphant spirit, that declaration, the proof of being victorious to you and I. It is for us that he did it. So listen, it isn't just about being forgiven of the past. It's about the yoke no longer sits on us. We don't carry the burden of our past, the sins we commit, nor the sins of someone else who committed things against us. The yoke that they have put on you back when you were abused or mistreated, embarrassed, disrespected, taken advantage of, treated deceitfully. The list can go on, whatever your story is. We need to lay down the cloak of our past that we continue to wear, though we believe in Jesus, that says, I've been hurt. And now it's a license that says, because I've been hurt, this gives me license to continue to use my past hurt as leverage, that I can now be harsh or an activist against my personal agenda that everyone else needs to listen to and pay attention to. After all, I was hurt, so I'm the professional on it. So give me a platform. When we're supposed to be carrying the message of the gospel, his agenda. We believe in him, but we're not laying down our cloak of our past. And it says, I want forgiveness, but I don't want to live in your kingdom. After all, Jesus, you know what was done to me, and you say it's okay for me to wear this cloak, use it as a license. Because after all, I was hurt, and I got a right. And my culture tells me I've got a voice. I mean, after all, they've given me an amendment for it. At some point, we got to let the yoke be broken and let it lay and walk away and live in his kingdom and talk about how he set us free and how we live now under his influence rather than the influence of the yoke of the past that was a burden to me and I carried it like a beast of burden. When he has loosened the cords, took the yoke off, broke it, and has allowed me to be free. It is time for you and for me to take our cloak, not just of achievement, but our cloak of hurt that we wear sickly as a badge of honor. That we said, oh, deliver me, oh, deliver me, oh, save me now. And then he comes and does it, and we say, thank you, I'm forgiven, but I want to wear this. Listen, you want Palm Sunday, the Passion Week, to mean something for what Christ is about to do? Then we need to take off the cloak of those things because it's why he's going to die, why he did die, and why he spilt his blood. It wasn't just for forgiveness. It was to set you free and to be free indeed that you could now have peace in your soul instead of turmoil and guilt and shame and just walk around going, I'm a child of God and he forgave me. But I'm still going to live under the influence of the old yoke. That is not living in his kingdom. I don't care if you sing the song. I don't care if you jump up and down. I don't care if you get sentimental. I care if you put your cloak down. They threw their cloaks down, these mantles. He came on a donkey because he was bringing peace. He was hearing, Hosanna, save me now, I'm desperate, come. We see the symbol of the burden being lifted and taken off, the loosening of the cords, the breaking of the yoke that we read about in Isaiah 10. We read about in Luke 4 why he's anointed. We read about it in Isaiah 58, break the yoke of formal ceremonialism, and that's part of what he was coming to Jerusalem for, as they looked like they were religious and doing things, but the religious leaders put such a burden upon the people with their laws and formalities and ceremony that people just went, I'm never going to make heaven. I'm never going to get to know God. I'm not good enough because I can't keep all these laws. That's why Jesus came and was the greatest storyteller of all time. He came and told stories to common people like me, that we could understand. See, simpleton Randy, the kingdom of heaven is like this. You've seen a farmer, right, Randy? Mm-hmm. Well, he was going out to his field to put some seeds down. Now, on his way, some spilt out of the bag. And he begins to tell a simple guy like me a story about the kingdom of heaven that I can understand. And then it wasn't about ceremonialism. It was about my heart receiving the Word of God in here. And not sprouting up quickly that it would wither away. And not allowing the concerns of my life to choke out this seed. For this seed is the Word of God that can be fruitful in my life. See, Jesus told stories that guys like me could understand. The ceremonial people, they had problems with all this. Because he was setting free and bringing peace on earth. Goodwill towards men. I mean, isn't that his arrival? Isn't that what the hosts of heaven were saying? Glory to God in the highest. And they were telling the shepherds, hey, peace on earth. Why did Jesus come? We're looking at this week and he goes, oh, hey, if you only knew the price of peace for you. I'm coming to bring peace. I'm riding on the donkey. I'm letting the beast of burden be, you know, untied. And you don't have to carry it. And you don't have to walk under formalism and ceremonialism. God has no delight in fake fasts or the blood of bulls and goats. He was anointed to set captives like me free. This triumphal entry was about him enduring the cross and being resurrected, but it was about you becoming triumphant who had no chance. I had no chance. Heaven was too hard to get into. Experiencing God was too hard. Till Jesus said, you see me, you hear me. It's like seeing the Father and hearing the Father. I'm sending the Holy Spirit to live in your life after I leave. That you can know me and I can live in you. And you can be triumphant because you laid down your cloak. And you didn't pick up the yoke that was broken. You actually understood that you were born again. Born again without the yoke. We were born in the flesh and the yoke of sin has sat upon us. We are born again of the Spirit through faith in Christ. We were not born with a yoke. If you want to get technical, yeah, okay, you were born again with a yoke. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. It's not the burden of sin. You know, they were waving palms. The waving of palms, you know, you and I go, oh, that's kind of cool. And, you know, I grew up in mainline church and, you know, this Sunday every year we would get palms and we'd fold them and make something that looked like a cross to give to our parents. And they go, oh, that's great. The cross went like this and, you know, that's beautiful. It's a cross, right? Okay, yeah. And it's good and it's meaningful and it does something. But in that time and culture, what was happening, you know, and I'm not going to go into all the history and the festivals and all that, but they were building some lean-tos and sheds along the way, and they would cover them in palm branches to provide some shade and all of this. And don't get too tangled up in this. I'm not going to take time to do all that. But they had palms with them, and they see Jesus coming. And palms, it symbolized a couple of things in how they used palms at other occasions. In other words, palms represented goodness, and palms represented victory. For like when a king rode in with his army, and the king they conquered in the back, walking in under chains, and people would understand that they were victorious, and they would have palms, and they would wave them. You see, they were waving palms. Save us now. I laid down my cloak and everything that represents my life to live in your kingdom, because it's not only about forgiveness, it's about being set free, and you are the Prince of Peace, and you came to bring peace, and I need peace between me and God, because sin has brought enmity between God and I, as Paul writes in Romans, and Jesus came to be the propitiation of that whole transaction. I'm sorry. The exchange of that whole transaction of trading, giving us life, and he took our sin and paid our punishment, and he let us go free. That whole transaction to bring us peace, that there's no enmity between us and God anymore, as we have faith in his Son. So they wave these palms as victory. They're starting to clue in. He's coming on a colt. He's bringing peace. We've prayed to be delivered and be saved. He's coming. The prophets were right. This is the day. This is the time. Look what he's done. Look who he is. King. Glory to the King. Throw down the cloak. Wave the palms. We believe in you, Jesus. Come. You're victorious. You're like a king who rides on a baby donkey or on a donkey. You're bringing peace to us. You have heard our prayers. It's manifesting before them. I want you to know that they will wave, we will wave palms before him once again.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.